This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you want to be a part of future conversations, join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you are a Patreon supporter, you could be watching us record this right now. We do have a exclusive link for Patreons to come and join us and watch this show live and a bit of banters and stuff. But if you want to show the love of the pop culture on your body, hit popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts, shirts like this, jumpers like this. Side note, you know what I love about this jumper? It's being a fat dude. It's never an issue about the shirts being wide. Mm. It's always about the shirts being long. Mm. Look how fucking long this jumper is.
That's good. I have the opposite issue.
It's beautiful.
I'm not the opposite issue. I have the same thing. I'm no longer a small. I'm a medium. Mm. But the mediums are just as short as the smalls. They're wider, but like you can still see my belly crack.
Yeah, the belly crack is like, I'm very conscious about the belly crack.
Yeah. So it's very difficult. That's why I wear the same shit all the time. Because when I find something that fits, that's it. Until it's run ragged, that's it. That's what I'm wearing.
And that's what I do, except it's with Pop Culturist merchandise. And we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist, where you can like, subscribe, and comment, and join us as we stream tons of games. Did a couple streams this week, actually. More than usual.
Same game.
But we did two. I was going to do a third, but then I got home last night. I just can't be dicked, so I didn't do it. How you been, man?
Swell. Yeah. I'm on a quest.
What's your quest?
I'm not buying any more games until I finish my 2019 backlog.
2019? That's impressive.
I got a fair few.
2018, you mean?
Yeah, that one. Oh, front log? 2019 front log? I'm sick of buying games and not finishing them.
Yeah.
It's a waste of money, waste of time. So I'm not buying anymore.
Fair.
Until I've ticked a few off.
So what is on the backlog? What are the must finishes before we jump in?
Well, it has to be the ones I've already started.
Mm-hmm.
So Doom.
Yep.
About halfway through. Metro. I'm right at the end. I want to finish that off today. Spider-Man. I still haven't passed Act 1, so I've got a while to go in that. Octopath. Hollow Knight. And SteamWorld Dig 2.
That's not a too bad list though.
The only one I'm worried about is Hollow Knight.
Yeah,
because I can't estimate how long that'll take me because it's fucking hard.
Yeah,
but yeah, I need to tick all them off.
I get you. Granted, I've credited a lot more games than I have in probably a decade.
I think I've credited 8 this year.
I'm on 15 now.
Got my list. Yeah, but a lot of yours are little indie shit. They don't count.
It's still a game.
They're like our experiences.
Only two.
This year I've finished Monster Hunter World, God of War, Pyre, Matterfall, Oxenfree, and Human Fall Flat.
Alright, let me have a...
And then you've got the ones that carried over from last year, which are a bit shit too.
Yeah, well, the only questionable ones that I started last year and then I came back and finished was God of War 3 and South Park The Fractured Butthole. Mm-hmm. Everything else I did from start to finish this year. So, South Park, Firewatch, God of War 3, Remastered, The Impatient, Moss, Bravo Team, Wolfenstein 2, God of War, Ghost of Sparta, God of War, Chains of Olympus, God of War 2018, Detroit Become Human, Guacamelee, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Donut County, and, as of last night, Marvel Spider-Man.
I'm sucking that God of War dick.
Well, I was hyped. So I'm like, well, I'm going to tear through the PSP ones I never actually finished. So
what is your game of the year so far?
It is God of War, unquestionably.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's really cliche.
What?
It's God of War.
Yeah.
So is everybody fucking else.
Well, that's only my problem as well, but...
Like, when it comes to the end of the year, like Game of the Year awards, you know, God of War's going to be in, like Breath of the Wild was. Yeah. Like, it's and everyone's like, yeah.
Well, let's jump into...
Here's all the YouTube videos, you know, top 5 games of the year, 20. Mm. You know number one's going to be God of War.
Yeah.
Like, unquestionably.
Well, let's jump into this little bit of a rundown review of Marvel Spider-Man. Because now, obviously, no spoilers because you've not gone past Act 1. But
I'm at the bank.
They're at the bank. Okay, cool. You've still got a very long way to go.
I know.
So this is what people have been calling the contender for Game of the Year. People saying this is throwing God War out of the way and it's going to be the front runner. It won't be. The game is great. Like, I really enjoyed myself with it. The story is strong. It has a lot of dip points. But when you come out of that dip and they do something awesome to get you out of that dip, you kind of feel like it's...
But then you'd argue there shouldn't be any dips to start with.
Yeah, but I think the dips are sort of self-inflicted in the terms of I'm going to go piss fart around. And then I get bored of piss farting around. And then and then because I'm not doing the story at the pace that it wants me to... It's then going, it's slowing down and it's trudging. If I did the story as intended, like mission, then I probably, the probably pacing probably would be better. However, they throw so much shit on that map.
Yeah.
That you can't be, it's odd they're not, the story isn't better for it.
I wanted to initially get the platinum.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
The plat has nothing to do with collectible. Well, aside from the outposts and stuff.
Get all the landmarks, and there's one for get all the landmarks. There's get all the backpacks.
Yeah, I got them before I even finished Act Two.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way. I just don't have a draw to continue playing it at the moment. I don't know. It's fun. Like, swinging around New York is really, really cool. You know, really fluid. The combat's pretty good, even though I find a lot of the upgrades redundant because you don't need them.
Yeah.
Like, you could just get through the game with your square and triangle initial buttons. You know, you got all your gadgets and stuff. It's like, yeah, but I could just do this without all that. But,
well,
I know there's a lot more to the story than what I've seen, but so far I'm like,
in terms of the skill tree, like, you max out everything by the end. Like, there's not as if it's a tree.
There's a trophy for it.
Yeah. It's not as if there's an unexplored tree or anything, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally, you did it all.
It's the same as Horizons.
Yeah.
You know, there's a trophy for getting all the skills, so you know you can get all the skills. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a trophy.
I didn't look at the trophies until after.
I've looked at all the trophies.
Yeah.
All the hidden ones and everything. No surprises.
There's nothing in there there's nothing that will spoil you in there, I guess, which is really kind of cool.
No, there was. There's trophies for the villains you have to fight throughout the game.
Yeah.
But other than that.
But those villains are in the trailer from E3.
Yeah.
Which is no surprise. There's only one extra villain that's part of the game, and you know about that villain within 10 minutes.
Is that the one where he goes, you, at the end of that E3 trailer?
Yeah.
Would that be...
Yeah,
the unrevealed villain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, the trailer implies that there's another villain, and you experience that other.
Pretty sure I know who it is from the trophies.
Yeah, it's in the trophies, and if you play the game for the better part of 20 minutes, you know instantly who it is. Mm. I in no way do I see it to be a game of year contender. It's perfectly fine. I loved it. I really enjoyed myself with it. Comparing it to, say, God of War, which had a literal emotional connection to me, Spider-Man tries to bring that out of you a couple of times, tries to get you a little bit emotionally invested. The moments I went, oh.
I think the emotional investment would come from being the people that are longtime Spider-Man fans and seeing all this comic stuff come to life and be like, whoa.
But
like,
if you are
like we got with Batman, like Arkham, you know, when stuff happening in Arkham, you're like, holy shit. Whereas someone who's just playing Arkham and doesn't know anything about Batman would be like, meh.
Yes, but if you're a longtime Spider-Man fan, you've probably played 1,000 other Spider-Man games, and this really, really doesn't innovate on a lot of those things. It's still very much basically the same game. The villains that you face, you know, whether that be Electro, Shocker, Rhino, Vulture, Scorpion, like, these people you've already seen before.
Such creative names.
Yeah. Like, these people you've already seen before in other games, so there's nothing new here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I haven't played any other games.
Well, because, like, you know, if you look back at all the previous Spider-Man games, whether it be the movie tie-ins, you're already fight. You fight Lizard and Scorpion and Rhino and Vulture and these things are already there. And then you go into even the PS1 Spider-Man game, which is more in tune with the comics, I would say, has all those villains anyway.
I feel like the villains I'd really care about fighting have been left out in order to have a sequel with something worthwhile.
Like,
because there's a couple.
Who's the villain that you're interested in seeing?
I don't want to say because it'll spoil that he's not in the game at all, so I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not. We said no spoilers, so no spoilers. Because if I say this villain is not in the game, then people know, well, he's not. If I say this villain is going to be in number two, then they go, well, he's not in this game, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. But at the same point, it's like, well, I'm disappointed. Like, yeah, we could have told you he wasn't going to be in there.
No,
like,
no.
Imagine expectations.
No. But yeah, like, the villain I want to see is not in this game, which leads me to think, well, he's going to be in the second one.
Yeah.
Because they needed something for a sequel. They couldn't just blow their fucking load in this first game.
Mm.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable to play.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't say much else about it.
Yeah, it's like I did fall into the hype before it
you
dropped.
You were going to buy that stupid collector's
thing. I thought about it, and then I'm glad I didn't.
All the pissing and moaning we talk about collectors, and you know, it'll take something really special to make us buy another one. Oh, I want to get the Spider-Man one.
Yeah.
What?
See, this is where I need you in my life, because I am impulsive.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm going to buy it, and you're like, don't buy it. I'm like, yeah, probably shouldn't buy it. Yeah.
When I buy it, I'm going, why?
And I'm like, I don't have an answer for that. That's a good question. Thank you very much, Josh. And then I don't buy it.
Because I want to?
Yeah. Look, in short, I know it seems like a really short kind of compounded review. Only because you haven't finished it, I don't want to go into too deep.
No, I'd imagine from what I've seen.
Would you have any questions about later on? No.
From what I've seen to this point, other than, of course, the story beats. I've seen everything.
Yeah.
I feel like there's nothing new that's going to be thrown at me through the game. I've seen the gadgets. I've seen the suits. I've been around the entire city. So I feel like there's not going to be something cool and new thrown in later to make me go, whoa.
Yeah, you're pretty right. It's pretty spot on
there.
It's
just the story I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So.
And the story is great. The way they bring in, this isn't spoilers because it was in the trailers, the way they bring in Mary Jane as a playable character and the way they bring in Miles is really cool in terms of the story. For them, you just do sneak missions. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, they suck.
They suck.
Yeah.
Like, they're...
There's nothing worse than forced stealth missions in an otherwise action game.
However, like, there is a scene later on where you play as Mary Jane, but Spider-Man is also in the room. So he's, you know, you two are working together to get to an end goal. So rather than you just trying to avoid ex-villain...
Why doesn't he just pick her up with his web and just go, here you go?
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, so like apart from like that mission where you're playing Mary Jane and, you know, they're doing whatever, like, other than that, it's kind of, yeah, you're just like, oh...
I'm also disappointed they didn't go with hot Aunt May.
With hot Aunt May? Yeah, like, she's hot in her own way.
Like the Marvel-verse Aunt May. You know?
Well, this is 8 years later from Origin, so...
Yeah, but she looks like she's like 30 in the Marvel-verse.
But in terms of performances across the board, they are really quite good. Peter Parker is incredibly compelling. He
is during the story.
Yeah.
During anything else, I'm like, oh, there's that, you know, that line again.
But that's
for doing that same, you know, you stop a bank heist.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of three lines.
That's when you hit the walls of the game, though.
Yeah, I know.
Like when you're doing the story mode,
I'd just rather he said nothing.
Yeah. The difference, what makes a really good Spider-Man, also what makes a really good Batman, is how they handle Peter Parker and how they handle Spider-Man or Bruce Wayne and Batman. There is a difference between the two here. It's like once he gets that suit on, he's a bit more quick, a bit more like he's very subdued as Peter Parker, but you can still see the Spideys in there.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. It's good. I'm trying to think of another word that's not good.
The video the video game thing of speaking in a monologue so the player knows what to do grinds on me a little bit too.
Yeah.
But that's just how it has to be.
Yes,
it's like, you know, like right at the start when you're crawling through the vent, you're phoning, you're like, oh, it's Aunt May, better answer.
See, but the thing they can get away with Spidey is because there's no fake, because you can't see his mouth, it can be as perceived as in a dialogue. But when Mary Jane's in you're trying to sneak through a museum and she's like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you're trying to sneak, shut up. Even though, like, yeah, Mary Jane, she's fantastic. I forget the woman that Laura Bailey played her. Schmick.
Anything Laura Bailey does turns to gold.
Yeah, look.
Literally.
Sometimes there were moments where I'm kind of like, Mary Jane, how you
doing? Yeah, different angles.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's Mary Jane.
The left side profile is like a 5, but the right is like an 8.5.
Yeah, I'm like, damn. Miles is great. Aunt May is great. The villains are really cool. One of the key villains later on has sort of this big final monologue, and it's kind of a bit
cartoony.
It's a bit sniveling bad guy, and I'm like, I get instant like.
I've had enough of this world. I can make it better. You don't understand.
Yeah, do it with me.
Yeah, join me. We'll do it together.
Join me, Spider-Man. We'll do it together. And I'm like, oh man. Like up until that point, the motivations of this particular villain were good. Like they were misplaced, as all villains are. That's the point. But the delivery of it was tangible. I'm like, okay, I can see why you would want to do that. I see where you're coming from. And they explain, you know, why you go from how this person went from a regular dude to big supervillain. But yeah, with that last moment, you kind of go,
and you've ruined it.
Yeah, and you killed it. And that's when it becomes the superhero trope again.
Yeah.
But in terms of how it looks, in terms of, like, as you said, like, this game has moments where it looks kind of okay. Like, it's still really good, but it's okay comparatively. And then there's moments, especially in cutscenes, where they do close-ups, and it is, like, uncannily real.
Mm.
And it's kind of jarring for a second. Not in, like a ooh, but like a, whoa. Mm.
Like when you're sprinting up the side of a building, and they look just, like, 2D, like, when you're running up the side of a skyscraper, it looks bad.
There's 3 points. There's actually 3 pitches that they use. So if you pass the threshold, it goes...
Yeah, it doesn't look
so those great. Little things are okay, but that...
That's like, nitpicking.
That's nitpicking. Like, the smallest thing for me, which was really good, that I resonated with, I really loved, is when you... Not spoilers in the trailer, when you deal with Scorpion later on, because Scorpion's face is covered by his giant helmet. The only thing that's visible is his mouth that moves, but the the animations of the mouth are like spot the fuck on. And I'm like, wow.
Did you see the Twin Towers Easter egg?
No.
If you're up a certain skyscraper, in the glass reflection of the skyscraper are the Twin Towers.
Oh,
you turn around and they're not there.
Oh, that's sad. Mm-hmm.
I tried a long time to get a good photo at the Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
I got a good one, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe half an hour of, like, climbing up, jumping off again, pausing at the right time. No, it was all right. Come back up again. Got, like, Central Park in the background and stuff. Looks good.
Yeah, the photo mode is a lot of fun.
I saw, you know, you can make a comic book photo. Yeah. It's just Mary Jane's ass. She's, like, bending over, and someone's just taking a photo. It's like, the Amazing Spider-Man. Wow! And it's just Mary Jane's
ass. I love is with the photo mode, you can jump in at any point and do it, like, even during cutscenes. So there's a really intense moment when you're playing with Mary Jane, and there's guards around, and everyone's getting shot, and you're like,
yeah.
Love it.
That's like in the new Tomb Raider where you can change her facial expression in photo mode. So she's like getting ravaged by like a saber-toothed tiger and she's like... You can also change her in photo mode to PS1 Lara Croft as well.
Yes. My buddy Damo sent me a picture of him. He's like, this seems out of place. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yeah, so Spider-Man, it's all right. I really enjoyed it. It most likely won't be in my top 5 list or top 10 list. Maybe top 10, maybe. Top 5 of the year. But I really did enjoy myself.
Probably out of like the exclusives this year, it's the one I'm the most. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
I haven't played Detroit either.
Yeah, Detroit was really good though. I liked Detroit a lot.
So I've heard.
But yeah, so there you go. I did pick up Shadow of the Tomb Raider yesterday. I put it in, haven't done anything with it yet. Mostly because I was up until like 1 in the morning finishing Spidey, getting them credits. And our good friends over at Ubisoft sent us codes to the Trials Rising beta, the closed beta.
What's that?
You know Trials, like the side-scrolling...
Trials Fusion.
Yeah, the Trials franchise. The new one coming out early next year in January called Trials Rising. They sent us 2 beta codes, so if you want one, you can jump on there. It's all right. It's fine. It's cool.
I've got my backlog.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know if I'm buying Red Dead yet. Until release date, I don't know. Whether, because I
we'll be at PAX, you can decide at PAX.
I wasn't going to buy Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But the day it came out, I was like, oh, we got to go get it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be the same with Red Dead, where I'm like, meh. And then, you know, the day it comes out, it's all over Reddit. Everyone, I was like, oh, okay, I'll go and get it.
But yeah,
other than Red Dead... It's probably the only other new game on my radar for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because the big Gwent update is next month, which I'm very, very excited for. I should have enough materials and scraps to make the whole collection of cards. So I'll have everything.
Stoked.
Because when they do it... Because each card is worth 1/4 of its value in card scrap. So a gold costs 800 scrap to make. But if you scrap a gold card, you get 200. So like 4 into 1. But when...
At least it's consistent.
But when the 2.0 comes out, for the first couple of weeks, everything is worth full scrap.
Ooh.
So all your doubles, you can essentially trade one for one.
That's awesome.
So I've got like, I've got about 100 or something like doubles. So I can, yeah, trade one for one. So I might have the whole collection. That's exciting, which means I can make any fucking deck I want whenever I want. That's cool.
But yeah, so the Trials Rising closed beta is like, when you boot it up, it goes, hey, this is a beta. Things will change. As I try to talk about the Trials Rising closed beta, the camera decides to just shit itself and get a full card and stop working, which is incredibly relevant because with the Trials Rising beta, it crashed constantly. I spent all of last night just trying to get into the game.
I thought you were playing Spider-Man all last night.
Yeah, and like before this morning, like I said, I was playing Spider-Man. I tried to do tried to get into the beta. I'm like, all right, go, shut down. Go, shut down. All right, shut down. Just corrupts the data of the game. I'm like, fuck you. And then like, I could never actually get into the game. Like, I understand closed beta, this is what it's to be expected. But if you can't get in there to play it,
I don't know. I feel like coming after alpha should be like, does the game run?
Yeah.
Like that should be the alpha period. The beta's like, yeah, it runs. Let's get some bug feedback. Like, yeah. It should run by that point.
That's what I was thinking. So then what I just did, I was like, screw you. I deleted all the save data, and I deleted the game itself and just reinstalled it. I'm like, maybe there's something. Maybe something dumb. And now it works. But that, who knows? I could try it again, and it will just shit itself. But yeah, so it plays pretty much just like regular Trials. So if you play Trials Fusion, you would know pretty much straight up. The big thing for this is, I think multiplayer. You know, up to four people, and it's all in the line and stuff. Without diving into the multiplayer stuff yet, for me personally, it's more of the same. But I dig it. It reminds me of Elastomania back on PC. Back when I was like year seven. That's fine. I'm missing much. It's one of those dumb flash games that we just loved as children.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so I would hope I can dive back in there and get some more stuff out of it. If it ran more consistently, I'd probably stream it.
Mm.
But knowing that it may crash at any minute makes me kind of reluctant to do so.
I'm sure there'll be a patch of some sort.
Yeah, or I hope so. Anyway.
Cool. Let's do this.
This is the part of the show where we move into the news, where we tell you about the PlayStation news that happened this week, a section we call Inform the Players.
Not too much this week, pretty quiet week. Number one, PlayStation 4's anticipated 6.0 system software update went live earlier this week. After weeks of speculation as to what the update may include, many fans were disappointed to learn the update brings with it only one stated change: improved system performance. Sony held a private beta for the 6.0 update last month, with sign-ups going as far back as mid-July. This is all gearing up to be a fucking huge update.
I hope so.
Then in late August, Sony unexpectedly began rolling out a new PlayStation Store search bar. That was really good. Which many thought would be fully released as part of the 6.0 update. Level of testing and preparation led some PS4 owners to believe big changes were in store for when the update eventually went live. That was not the case.
No.
There are many fan theories, though. And the possibility of additional changes may not be so far-fetched. Earlier in the week, Luke Mears, a member of Sony's online safety team, responded to a question on Twitter about what to expect from 6.0 by simply saying, "You'll see." With the update now out, another user questioned that response, which prompted Mears to post a GIF implying he's not at liberty to share further information.
It's like, "You'll see." Nothing.
It was pretty disappointing.
I laughed really hard because I went to log in, booted up the PS4, and he's like, "Please look, please sign in." I'm like, "Why the fuck is my internet down?"
Do you find that when there is an update, it doesn't fucking tell you half the time, and it's like, "Not signing into PSN, can't play online." I'm like, "Why?"
And then mine does it automatically.
I don't have auto on mine.
Oh yeah, but so I have auto download. So then I go and I'm like, "Why?" And then I go, and then it goes, "Bing."
It doesn't.
And it's already
me.
Like 40% done.
Yeah, it doesn't prompt me.
Yeah.
Until I try to play an online game that's like can't connect to online services, I'm like, "Why not?"
Why don't you have automatic downloads on?
Because I don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I don't want every fucking game to keep updating and downloading and stuff. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it's disappointing.
Yeah, so like, is it what I've been? I'm like, ooh, I'm like, what the? I didn't know there was an update. Oh, 6.0. Ooh,
you know when you hit, when you hit an even number, you know that's a big one.
Yeah, I'm like, let's view these.
But according to Luke Mears from Sony, there's maybe more coming. Well, there may not be.
What do you reckon? What do you think? I don't think it'll be anything.
Other than somehow implementing the name change thing.
Oh, there is nothing.
Which every update people are like, this is the one. It's not. What else can they do? They fixed the search bar. That was cool. They've fixed up notifications so you can kind of filter them and delete them. Mm-hmm. And party
chat. You can hide things from your library.
Party chat is fine. You can create folders. You can change your background to whatever you want. I mean, I'm not sure what else they can do.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Name changes aren't coming this generation.
No.
Promise.
I'm in the same boat as you.
If they could do it E3 with the PS5 reveal, you can also change your name.
Well, because if they come out and they go, we've done, you know, because the...
Here's what I don't understand. Because we've learnt that name change, like your name is tied to too much to just be able to change it.
Yeah.
But why can't they just add another layer in front of your name that name ties to? Like Steam. Like everything is linked to your email address. And then in front of your email address is a display name.
That's the point I'm making. So like, well, I started making, then I lost my ability to word.
Oh.
Would be the same thing. Because we know, as you said, that there's so much connected to that, like, which is Microcards, which is Betson. They're in the description if you want to be our friends.
Mm.
You know, there's so much connected to Betson that we could never change it.
Yeah. But why can't you add another layer?
I think it's because of that's archaic setup.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean? For sure.
Like I was listening to IGN's podcast, and they talked about how because the IGN website was originally built in like the late 90s, early 2000s, it's just trying to implement something so simple is ridiculously hard.
I'm sure it is.
And like, only because it was built on such old framework. And I truly think the PSN's in that same
boat. But obviously, you know, back then you couldn't tell where things were going to go, you know? So that's probably the best idea they had at the time. They're like, yeah.
Well, yes, because they can't shut the website down, rebuild it like from scratch and put it back up. They just have to keep building on that old system.
But no, like, that's what I'm saying. So you've got your current PSN display name.
Mm.
And you've got all the branches of whatever the fuck else it connects to. Mm. All these
shift that
all
way.
These little all these little branches coming off, and then in front of it, just one line to a new display name, and that name just links to your original name, which then branches to everything else.
I'm not a
software engineer or designer. I don't know fucking shit. But to me, that doesn't seem like you're just adding another layer on top of the name. It's not connected to anything fucking else. It's just in front of your display name, and that's what shows to your friends. I don't know why that seems so difficult.
See,
this isn't some small indie company. This is Sony Online Entertainment. Like, so I don't believe that they can't figure something out.
But at the same point, I'm like, if it's that easy and they know there's the money there, they know there's demand there, why haven't they?
Maybe they haven't thought of it, and that's why I just put it out there.
There you go.
So anyone from Sony PR watching this, maybe forward that on.
If you're watching this, thank you, but why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else they can change with these system updates up until the end of Gen. I mean, we've pretty much got everything we could want.
Yeah, I'm expecting the PS5 go, hey, we haven't, like, we've rebuilt PSN for PS5.
Mm.
Like, that's the only thing they're going to have to come out and say. Or only way they can do it.
Yeah. But it'd be hard to keep up because, like, let's say they've got a new database and they're slowly porting everyone over to it. But at the rate PlayStations are selling, there's always more people coming.
Yep.
It seems like a thing you can't win with 80 million plus people. No. You could never copy and paste everyone over to a new system. You couldn't do it.
No.
Alright.
Maybe it's one of those things. Maybe it's once again, we don't know how fucking things work. So maybe it's this weird thing. The database is blank on release, and when you put, like, when you buy your PS5 and you put it in and you install it and then you sign in, then it triggers the database cross.
Maybe, but then that still doesn't fix up having a name change.
No, but I mean, like, you know, so trying to transfer 80 million people, 80 million users of
information into a new database.
Will take
forever. But what's the point of copying everyone to a new database if you're going to copy and paste the same issues over?
Well, no, but I mean, like, in terms of, that would be a reasonable rollout. Like, they're only going to sell probably, like, a good couple million in the first, like, 3 months, maybe.
No, yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, transferring a couple. So I guarantee you, there are a lot of people on PS4 right now. A lot of people even accounts on PS3, and they didn't get a PS4. So these accounts just sitting there dormant over there.
Mm.
So like, why bring that over to the new database? You can just leave it there.
They might buy a PS5.
But they might, and then that's how they do it. When they buy that PS5, then goes, oh, okay, cool, and then it brings it over. I have no idea how databases work.
I don't think that's how it works.
I guarantee that's not how it works.
Number two, Bethesda has confirmed Wolfenstein 3 is happening and Dishonored isn't finished. In an interview with Game Central, Pete Hines, Senior Vice President of Global Marketing and Communications at Bethesda, confirmed that the studio is absolutely making Wolfenstein 3. When asked about the future of the Wolfenstein franchise, Hines said, quote, absolutely, we're making Wolfenstein 3. He continued, Machine Games said on stage that they're taking a break from the larger story to do Wolfenstein Youngblood, but we all have to see how that ends. Are you happy?
Hell yeah.
I only put that in for you.
Like, I'm super happy. Like, I loved Wolfenstein 2. Wolfenstein 2 was so stupidly good. But Dishonored I don't care too much about. But it's one of those things, like, of course they're going to make another Wolfenstein. Of course. Like, there is nothing. At no point have I ever doubted that.
Yeah. I don't know how the second one ended, so I didn't know if it left it open for another one.
It's open-ish. It's open-ish. But then, like, the openness of the ending.
Have you killed Hitler?
Oh, I don't know. Do you kill Hitler? I remember. I think so. I know you see him and you kick him. Like, you're next to him and you kick him and you get a trophy. Oh, okay. But then you get shot in the face. So it's kind of, like, weird.
Okay.
Last I heard, yeah, but he's, like, super sick and dying. So I don't know. That's good. Maybe they're bringing it up to Mecha Hitler in the next, in the third one. That'd be dope.
That'd get me in.
Yeah. So good.
But can you do Mecha Hitler, though? Because didn't Doom do Mecha Hitler? Or was that the original Wolfenstein that did Mecha Hitler?
It was Wolf 3D that did Mecha Hitler.
Okay, so they can.
So yeah, that would be a good trilogy. Like, if Daughters of Three, finish her up. Like, because Machine Games do something astounding with this franchise. One of the big things towards the end is, you know, like, they're all happy and there's kind of, you know, then the twins, and yeah, which the twins are now going to be in Young Blood. So it's this weird. Like, they're not done with it. And is it whoever, anyone thought they were going to be done with it? You're wrong. Dishonored. Dishonored 1 was a cult hit. Dishonored 2 came out, didn't really match the perceived demand of Dishonored 1. Then they made the Death of the Outsider, which is like a DLC, which didn't do that well either. Good. Dishonored is not a franchise that I care for.
We don't have any stealth games though, so it does fit a niche.
Yeah, but like, it's, yeah, it's a niche. Doesn't mean the game's good though.
No, I mean, no. But I mean, if you like your stealth games and you don't have many other options, what else are you going to get?
That is true.
Tokyo Game Show happened the other day. And
although this is a pre-show to Tokyo Game Show.
The pre-show.
Yeah.
Here's a list of every game revealed so far. Kingdom Hearts VR Experience, seemingly a collection of moments from the Kingdom Hearts series. Not much is known about the announced collection beyond the fact that you'll definitely get to swing a Keyblade around. You played Kingdom Hearts recently.
Yeah, it was
you
fun.
Jumped into it. Yeah, not excited for that. Judge Eyes, the new game from the studio behind the Yakuza series. Another slightly hazy prospect, but appears to be a narrative action game about solving a series of murders and follows the lawyers surrounding the case. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Remastered. The oddball local co-op GameCube Final Fantasy spin-off is coming to PS4 and Switch in 2019. Also coming to Switch is many, many other Final Fantasy games, except the only one I fucking want. So that sucks dick. Unnamed studio Istolia game. Studio Istolia has been Istolia. Set up by longtime Tales of series producer Hideo Baba. Yeah, yeah. Yep. This Unreal Engine powered game looks to be cel-shaded medieval fantasy made in conjunction with Square Enix. That sounds cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Samurai Spirits, a new entry in SNK Samurai Showdown series, is coming to PS4 in 2019. Set in 1787, the trailer shows a weapon-focused fighting game that draws heavily on Street Fighter V's look, but with an illustrative flair for special moves. Everybody's Golf VR.
Yeah!
The popular Sony Golf series is getting VR entry it deserves, coming in 2019.
Hells to the yes.
Gungrave Gore, a new game based on the anime, very good anime, is coming to Japan in winter 2019, but beyond that, we don't know much. And Dogfighter World War II, coming next spring. This looks to be an extremely arcadey flight combat game using historically accurate 40s planes.
Cute.
So Everybody's Golf, I'm sure you're excited for that.
Hell yeah, I love Everybody's Golf.
I do have PSVR now, so...
Ooh.
Maybe. Ooh. My move controllers aren't syncing to the PlayStation, though, so...
Congrats.
I don't know what's going on. I think, because I don't have the original cord, so I think I've only got a charging cord and not a charge / syncing.
Ooh, I'm sure I micro one USB.
No, Dad gave me one the other day. I just haven't bothered to do it yet. And Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles is cool. That's a good game. That's cool. A really good game.
Kill.
And then two quick bits. Hollow Knight is finally getting the PS4 and Xbox One on September 25 in digital content-packed Void Heart edition. So that's pretty much it. Includes all.
Yeah, no, we have talked about this before, but I don't think we had a date, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's got everything. And Psyonix has delayed the release of its planned cross-platform friends and party system for Rocket League.
But how's the Rocket Pass?
It's all right.
Mm.
I'm like tier 18, I think. There's, because you can unlock, you know how you can change your engine sound in Rocket League? There's one later on, which is just a bloke going, me.
Yes, I need it.
That's not till, like, I think tier 50-ish.
Yeah, I'd work my way through that. That's easy.
I'd imagine they've delayed it, because with the update for Rocket Pass, there are so many fucking bugs.
Yeah, understandably. Yeah.
I had a game the other day, because what it does, it puts you in a game with bots, and then when other people join, they kick the bots out and they take the spot. Well, because my team was full, it just put the other people on the other team, so it was 5 versus 3. me and two bots versus the five people. So two people on that team were supposed to kick the bots out and be on my team. Instead, it was five versus three. And I had it again last night, where it was four versus three. Same thing, I had one bot on my team. It puts another player in to kick that bot out. But it's like, oh no, that team's full. We'll put him on the other team. So it's four versus three.
Is it 3v3?
It was meant to be 3v3. I only play 3v3. Yeah. So, and it's not uncommon, apparently, either. So I'd imagine the Rocket Pass has brought in a whole kind of slew of new things to kind of look at and fix up.
Psionics are good, though. They'll
they
get
are very
sorted.
Good. The Rocket League big tournament is happening, like, now as of recording, with, like, the million or $2 million prize pool and stuff like that. But, yeah, everyone was very, very excited for that cross-platform, because I think you make, like, a Psionics account. Like, Fortnite has, like, your PlayStation account and then your Epic Games account on top of it. Same kind of thing, I think. But, yeah, they'll do that when they can. And top-selling games for the weekending of whatever last week was. Starting number 10, Madden 19. Number 9, PlayStation hits Uncharted 4. Number 8, PlayStation hits The Last of Us. Number 7, F1 2018. Number 6, God of War. Number 5, GTA 5. Number 4, Destiny 2 Forsaken. Number 3, Dragon Quest 9. Number 2, NBA 2K19. And number 1, of course, is Spider-Man. A couple things. I don't know how I feel like DLC being... I don't know how I feel about DLC being in the top-selling list. With Destiny 2 Forsaken. I don't know. It's just, it's not a game.
It depends on how it's and how it's skewed, I guess.
Well, I think when you buy Destiny now, it is Destiny Forsaken.
Yeah.
Like how they did with, I think they did with Taken King. Like when you don't buy Destiny and then get the expansions, you buy the Taken King.
Yeah.
Same with Diablo with Reaper of Souls. You don't buy Diablo 3 and then buy the Reaper of Souls expansion, you buy Reaper of Souls and get the whole.
Yeah.
I think it's the same. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a bit dirty.
God of War dropped a lot. Yeah. Apparently, Spider-Man is outselling God of War 3-1 in the same time frame.
Yes, that comes down to brand recognition.
Yeah, simply. Yeah, yeah. I know.
Like it's Marvel. I'm just saying. Like Marvel. Yeah,
it's
not,
more accessible.
I'm not slagging it, like, because that's still damn impressive. But like, there are reasons behind that are explainable.
Yeah, but it's all Spider-Man also has a much wider possible audience
and kids.
That's
kids
what I
play
mean.
God
the
of
younger
War.
Generation, yeah. You know, a lot of kids want to play it. My daughter's further than I am. In it, she won't stop playing it when she's in my house, which is cool. It's nice to see her playing games.
Yeah,
because the last game she played through was Until Dawn. She played through that twice, actually.
It's because she loves Rami.
She loves Rami Malek.
Yeah. Side note: the more times I see that trailer of Bohemian Rhapsody, I think I'm falling in love with Rami Malek.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I've watched a couple interviews. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he's not actually singing in that.
Oh,
they've got.
There are some.
Yeah,
that he
but to hit
is?
A lot of the high notes, because my mum and dad went to see a Queen show in Melbourne last weekend, and the guy who was doing the singing for that show is actually doing the singing for that movie as well.
Or Adam Lambert.
Is it Adam Lambert?
Well, did they actually see Queen, like the actual Queen?
No, it was a one of those copy bands, but this is like the biggest one in the world.
Oh, the
like,
Queen, the Queen Experience or something.
Yeah, that. Probably.
Yeah, I saw that guy's YouTube. Like he is. Yeah. Stupid good.
And apparently, he's the one doing the singing.
Oh yeah, because he's almost perfect. There's slight offs, but he's almost perfect. Yeah. But yeah, Adam Lambert is the current singer of the real band Queen.
Oh okay, yeah. Right. Since PlayStation have come out, The Last of Us and Uncharted haven't left the top 10 either. So that's pretty cool. I hate seeing the 2K games up in there.
Yeah. So you know
they're so fucking shit.
Yeah.
Not just because I don't like. Sports games.
Yeah.
I play car soccer every day.
Yeah.
I like sports games. But we know what's entailed in the NBA 2K series. And it disappoints me to see it up there.
Yeah.
But there's not really many other options, I guess, at the same time.
So I did learn some information the other day about, you know, how we were always curious about how many copies of a game get sold. Now, I didn't hear total numbers, but I did get some sort of rough estimates from different people that work in games retail.
Mm.
And they only sell, like, in like the launch week, they only sell like a couple hundred at most.
At one store.
And this is like...
Yeah.
This is like the big... This is the big store in the area.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, what area is that particular store you're talking about? Bonpons?
No, this is in Melbourne.
Oh, okay. But you think, like, one EB Games, for example, might sell 100 copies of Spider-Man in a week. There are hundreds of EB Games across Australia. There are hundreds of JB Hi-Fi Targets across Australia.
The reason, because I always thought that there would be, like, thousands each store sort of thing.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep that kind of stock there. That's why they have so many stores, to spread it out a little bit.
Mm.
If there was one EB Games in Geelong, they might crack 1,000, sure. But there's like four.
Mm.
So they do like a couple hundred each to kind of make up.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's just
it doesn't sound like a lot, but I think if you put that as, yeah, as you, one store...
If you look at 400 stores in the
whatever
country...
Whatever amount of stores for all the different companies that sell the game, yeah. JB might not sell as many as EB, but they'll still probably crack 100 on Spider-Man in a week.
So you'd ask questions about, like, you know, like in terms of the top 10, like, what about the later on games? They're like, yeah, we'll sell like 10.
Yeah. But they also don't have access to digital figures either.
Yeah.
Which I'd imagine where most of the PS hits are selling through
Well, that's IGEA. I don't know whether they have access to that information or not. I imagine they would.
I don't know.
And I was just sort of, you know, we've had a discussion about how many games are actually sold. Like, understandably, like, Spider-Man, as an example, is going to have a huge tens of thousands number for the week. Mm. Like, I was always curious about the later numbers, like, how drastically different is it from 1 to 10?
I won't be happy till we get an official response from someone who actually knows.
Thanks, man.
Not just, like, a shop. I'll sell a couple hundred.
I tried to do some guerrilla info.
You did good. You did good. But they also don't have the right information, I don't think, either.
It's also true, yeah.
I want to know from the people that put the list...
We should
reach out
to
the IGA.
People
that put the list together, where do you get your information from and what are the figures?
Yeah.
That's the end goal.
Yeah.
Once we get that information on for the players, I'm out. We're done.
We're just quit.
This is our ongoing quest. We're just filling time.
Because, you know, we could find out, like, in no time at all. Joel's got a buddy, the IGA. We can just ask.
Well, we should try to find out. Anyway, Ryan, that's it for the news. We have a chat to the players about Call of Duty Black Ops 4's blackout mode.
Yeah, so thank you to our lovely friends at Activision Australia. We were given codes to the previous multiplayer beta, which did transfer over to the blackout beta. So we were able to get our hands all up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've put the better part of 6-ish hours in. At this point,
I've just played the night we played together, and a little bit beforehand.
Mm. What do you think?
It's good.
It's good. It's real good.
As cliche as this thing is to sound, and so many people saying it, but this is the death throes for PUBG.
This is the PUBG
because
kill,
also this week PUBG hit under 1 million players for the first time ever.
Still impressive.
Oh, well, since it got big, now it's the first time it's ever been under 1 million. Players, so it's already kind of started. We know it's coming, but it is essentially streamlined PUBG running really well and looking really fucking good, like graphically. Through even though it's the beta, I don't think I ever had an FPS drop. I never had a disconnect. I never had like weird fucking shit happening where Alex did when he spawned into the lobby. Instead of wingsuiting in, he just like moonwalked in.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny as shit, though.
Yeah.
But that's not like when I was playing the game, nothing.
Same thing. I dropped in, guy was just standing in the sky, and then it cut, and then I'm in a fucking dumpster.
Okay.
I'm like, it's relevant.
Yeah, that's where I belong.
Yeah.
But I had no performance issues.
We had one connection drop. So I the majority of the time that I played with our good friend Buddy from Dash Culture. So we had a connection drop once, and apart from the occasional issue dropping in, it was pretty smooth sailings from then on.
Mm-hmm. I find the inventory management pretty intuitive. It's not great,
so
but it's not bad.
Yeah, so whereas we're talking your personal inventory, like when you pull up the, you know, press your start button or whatever and you look at it, that part is really kind of tight. It's a little bit, it doesn't have that PC jank that the PUBG has. However, when you're looting somebody, that needs a rejig.
That does need a rejig. Because essentially when you're looting someone, you kill them, they drop their bag, and you go through their bag, it shows you one item, and you have to scroll through everything they've got.
And you have to be precisely looking at it.
You know, there's a very particular angle you have to be to open the bag.
And then you can't move,
you
just gotta stand there. So you become an instant open target.
But in terms of opening up your inventory and looking at all your mods and being like, that goes there. And I like how there's a backpack. Not many backpacks. Whereas, like, I've only got a level 1 backpack, but I want more space. It's like, no, you have 6 slots or you have 12. That's it.
It's
not convoluted. There isn't unnecessary. There's not 15 different kinds of healing items or anything like that. You've got your bandages, you got your drink med, and you've got your trauma kit. You've got the three. So it's very streamlined.
Oh, there's the first aid puncher as well, yeah.
I don't think I got that.
Yeah, there's like a...
You got the bandages,
there's the bandages, and there's the red one, which you still inject in yourself, and then there's the trauma kit.
Yeah, that's
and
what
then
I mean.
And then sometimes you find, like, a mega fuck, and then in that giant medic bag, there's almost everything.
Yeah, I feel like there's too many bandages, actually.
There's so many bandages everywhere.
But Yeah, the inventory screen is very good. Like, the gun's nice and big. When you highlight an attachment you've picked up, you know, it shows where it will go, what it will swap, quick, good little descriptions on the right-hand side of, like, what it actually does. Because Alex is like, Alex got a laser sight. He's like, what does it do? I'm like, I don't fucking know. He read it. It's like, increases, like, hip fire accuracy. I'm like, oh, cool. So it's good to know what it does, like,
yeah,
like that. I don't know how, I don't remember how that works in PUBG. It's like,
no, you just gonna wing it.
Yeah, just think you know what it does. Yeah, what, in terms of like the stuff you pick up your guns, your attachments, your first aid stuff, but then you pick up like your perks throughout the game.
That is the coolest little touch. So yeah, one of the things they've done is they've brought in the perk system
that as a consumable.
As a consumable. So previously when you would have like your deep breath where you can hold your breath longer so you can get a cleaner snipe shot. There's one called
Paranoia,
which allows you to see people. Oh, so when someone...
That's the one where the crosshairs are
Yeah,
on
so
you.
If the crosshairs hit you from another player, he goes boop and then you know to fucking drop it.
Drop
and
it
there's
down.
Also one called the consumer, which allows you to see all the items around
there's
you
a
for
lot.
A period of time. There's a bunch and they are awesome.
They're cool, but the problem I had because I only played it a little bit is I'm like, when do I use this? Because they obviously only last a few minutes or less. They vary. I'm like, when is the right time to do this? But they did do well with having like that quick menu to pop up because you can push down on your D-pad and it brings up your inventory there and you can quickly cycle through your things and use them. I like that. I like how you don't just have a grenade. Like, you can have the grenade, the throwing axe, trophy system. There's lots of different ways to play, and the gunplay feels fucking good.
In terms of the perk consumables, though, and the same thing with the consumables completely, including the guns or whatever, there is a large variety, but they're almost everywhere. Mm. So you can try one of the perks and be like, okay, that's what it does.
Yeah.
And then within 3 minutes, you found another one that you can try.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether they've jacked up the item drops in the beta as more of a tester, but there is a lot around and that's kind of fun. I like that they're literally giving you the keys.
Yeah, and of course there's vehicles. You can get quad bikes, cars, trucks if you got a full
and
squad.
A helicopter,
which was cool. Buddy and I had a game where we like shot it down and that kind of
stuff.
We
were,
that was fun.
There was one that Buddy and I have gotten the helicopter and we just did laps and like no one, oddly no one would fuck with us.
Yeah.
Which was super.
No one wants to waste their ammo.
Yeah.
Because ammo is kind of scarce.
Yeah.
Maybe. Depends what guns you've got and all that. But I did find myself like consciously looking at my ammo being like, oh, do I have enough for this and that kind of stuff. What they've called the circle is very unimaginative.
It's called the circle.
It's called the circle. The circle is shrinking. Okay. Okay. That's fine.
Well, they're not trying to make a big backstory about it. It's just like it's...
I do like the inclusion of zombies.
Zombies is such a cool touch. So
and
when,
they're fucking tough.
So when we first dropped in, I was naive to the idea of the zombies. So, you know, Buddy and I get in on this little cafe. We're like, okay, cool. Why don't we get a kill? Like with the, we just knocked down three dudes. Like what the? Oh shit! The zombies.
And there is an item which I believe lets you spawn zombies in the place.
Yeah, it's the
clacker
monkey.
The clacker monkey. Because I used it once, and then it kind of did its thing.
I'm pretty sure there is.
And blew up, and then I heard zombies, but then I died. So I didn't get
maybe
to see if it actually... But I think that's what it is. It brings zombies, it spawns them in somewhere.
Yeah. What I do love as well, is because bringing in that the zombiness into it, like you do have the mystery box, which is awesome.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's somewhere on the map, there's a big beam, and then you're like, oh, cool, man, mystery box, and you get a dope gun.
Yeah. You can find guns that are already loaded with attachments and stuff too.
Love
that's
that.
That's cool. And then even if you don't like the gun, you can pillage the attachments off it, drop the gun, get your other gun back that you like and kind of swap everything around. What I didn't realize, which I do apologize for, is there is friendly fire for your squads.
Yeah, you shot me lots.
Well, I tried to shoot the zombie that was
on you. We get frantic.
Yeah,
and then
there was a zombie like in your face. I'm like, but I headshot you instead.
Well, yeah, I think it might have been the shrapnel. Like the zombie died and I died. Somebody has been a bit both.
So it's something to keep in
mind. That is a really cool touch because none of the other games have that.
No. And
so it adds a good risk and reward. Like
but it also does... That's going to cause problems queuing squads with randoms.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking oath it is. Which I think is why like Fortnite doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Because if you play 50v50 in Fortnite, you know what your teammates are. You'll build a building and they'll knock it down to kill you and then they'll watch you die so they can pillage your loot and stuff. Like... It's just gamers.
Yeah.
It's just gamers. What else? Here's a concern.
Come this way a bit, brother. You're a little off the middle of it, yeah.
Here's a concern that I haven't seen many other people talk about. What happens next year with COD, the new release?
Yeah.
See that? What happens? Because they've got Blackout in this, and it's going to be successful. And then I think Infinity Ward is up next.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Whoever's up next, are they going to put a?
Last year was Sledgehammer.
Are they going to put a Battle Royale in their COD game? And then we've got two COD Battle Royales going, and then, you know, Sledgehammer do their one, and it's like, well, we'll put one in our game too. What happens to this one?
See,
what is going to happen with this?
See, that's what you've brought up a really good point, because like, them deciding to ditch the main campaign to focus on the multiplayer and the Battle Royale is that's a response of a downward trend. That is the response of a changing market, and that's so reactionary that it will anytime that a decision is made entirely out of reaction rather than like prediction or foresight, you do have that problem.
And what's going to happen? Like, I don't understand what, because we can't have like Fortnite and then three different Call of Duty Battle Royales going at the same time.
No.
It can't happen.
And it'd be...
And also, sorry, if and when microtransactions come into Blackout, the loot boxes or the storefront, whatever they decide to do, like, how much money are people going to want to invest when they know next year there's a new...
Well, that's
a
thing.
New
like,
one.
Even if...
I think they would have honestly been better off...
Two separate?
Blackout as a standalone $30 thing, and then they... can keep like Treyarch do the Battle Royale and then have Infinity Ward and Sledgehammer do that other
regular
shit.
Multiplayer.
Yeah.
And like, but I also think the regular multiplayer will be cannibalized by Blackout.
Yeah, it will. There'll obviously be people playing it, but like, people are buying this for Blackout. I don't think it should be $60 or for us $89, $99 here in Australia. But yeah, and then Infinity Ward bring out theirs and that'll cannibalize, you know, the Blackout players, because they'll all go to that, but then the people still playing Blackout are like, well, I don't have many people to play with now. Like, they're gonna, it's like Call of Duty Activision is going to cannibalize itself every year,
which is what they do anyway.
Which so is it, what they do. I know, I understand.
So
that
like the market for them is already there to continue that process.
Yeah.
So is it the right process? Not really. They are screwing themselves over bad, but it's that weird line of they know their audience will do it
unless they have Infinity Ward and all to do that, do multiplayer, and reboot the campaigns to be something really special again.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And keep Blackout as a Treyarch.
Yeah, then they've made their way to... Because Infinity Ward are the ones that
they did Modern Warfare.
They Modern Warfare, they shape, they change what Call of Duty has become.
And Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 are fucking awesome. And the story is great, memorable characters with Ghost and Soap. I don't actually
McTavish.
Know. McTavish. Yeah.
Soap McTavish.
Soap McTavish, I would like to see Infinity Ward kind of double down on the campaign, and
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will.
What the only way this could go into something else, into in terms of going into that pay games as a service, would be them to make Call of Duty Blackout now. Don't funnel it with a lot of microtransactions, which we know they want, which we know they'll probably do anyway. They'll put them in there, and then next year they go, hey, we have the Infinity Ward game, and we have Call of Duty Battle Royale. That's the only way they can do it, and then that will be ongoingly supported, so that way it never cannibalizes the other regular the base Call of Duty. That's the only way they can get around it. Of course they won't.
Because Infinity Ward's their mode will probably be called Warfare. I mean, it writes itself. Black Ops makes Blackout. Infinity Ward's version is Warfare. Same thing.
Well, that's true, because isn't all the map, in terms of the map, isn't...
I did want to mention that.
Aren't they all Black Ops maps?
I don't think so. I'm sure...
Because, like, Rust isn't on there, which would
be
really
cool. I'm sure Construction and Estate were Modern Warfare maps. I probably
would. Well, because that would be the only way, because there are people that love the Blackout, Black Ops franchise, people that don't. So, if they did make next year's Call of Duty Warfare...
You have Rust.
And then it's got all the Modern Warfare maps.
Yeah.
I'd probably play that one
the
more,
Hangar.
Personally.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to pick between the two. They're both Call of Duty Battle Royales.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at?
I get you.
Having said that, the map is fucking awesome.
Map is dope.
Good. So many times, you know, I'll like go to a place, I recognize them, I'm like, I don't remember this map. And then I get there, I'm like, oh, I remember. You can go up here, and then you can go around there, and then there's a hidden room under there. You know, it's very cool. And the construction site, I think, is my favorite place.
Because
it's so big, and there's so many layers to it. The map is fantastic.
They've done a really good job. Like, it's not as sprawling as PUBG. It's not...
It's not a stupid size.
It's a good... Only having 88...
80.
When you're playing duos, it's 88 for some reason.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's strange.
So yeah, so it's 88 in duos and 80 and whatever. So like, it's not the full hundo, which is good, because a lot of people just fucking die at the start anyway. So
which happens here anyway.
Yeah, because
the map is a little bit more. It's smaller than Fortnite's map.
Yeah.
Because the map is so confined, you know, you always have to be wary.
Mm.
Like, there's nowhere safe to
land.
There are
downtimes.
Yeah, but like in Fortnite, you can be like, I don't want to fight anyone for the first three quarters of the game. I'm going to land all the way over there. Mm-hmm. No one else is going to fucking go over there. It's not the case in this, you know, because the map is nice and tight. Mm. There's always people. Seems to be, or at the start of the game, there seems to always be people.
And the way I play PUBG is I find the little shacks off to the side.
Same.
The way this map is set up, because it's tighter and there's more key locations, there are no little shacks off to the side.
Oh, there's little areas.
You know what I mean? Like, in PUBG, there is a whole area of just little shacks. Yeah. So I can go shack, main area.
But it's always a better benefit in this to just land in a town.
Yeah.
Pick a named location.
Like, you're not going to win if you land in the middle of nowhere, which we come to learn.
Did you go to Nuketown Island at all?
I did.
Is the Nuketown map there?
Not Nuketown as we know it.
Because I feel like that would have made a great lobby. Nuketown is
we discussed
your
this last week.
Because
yeah.
the lobby in this, they just drop you on the map, and then when the game starts, you get in your helicopter and you jump out. I thought Nuketown itself would have made a great lobby.
Mm.
Nice and dense for 80 people. You know, I don't know. I just thought that would have been cool.
It would have been rad.
Maybe they are. They could be doing that.
Because
it seems like Nuketown Island is there, but it's like, where is your most iconic map in this? And it's not there, which is weird. It'd be cool if it was.
Well, maybe it was more of a decision of where that's directly.
Well, that's
copying.
Where every. Oh no! Well, they put Nuketown in, and that's where everyone fucking lands.
Whenever the opening helicopter is the path's right over Nuketown, you watch that number go like 40 people drop.
It's the same in Fortnite when you go over Tilted Towers.
Yeah,
everyone goes to Tilted Towers because that's where the most action is, because there's such a big city and all that. But yeah, Blackout is cool. It's going to be good.
It's yeah.
I'm probably not going to buy it though.
Because
I feel like I will play it for like 2 weeks and be like, I've had enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat.
You know what I said at the start of the show, I'm sick of spending all this money on games and not getting my money's worth out of them. Yeah. And I don't feel like I'll be happy with spending $80 for this mode. $80 for Battle Royale is pretty fucked. PUBG's 30, H1Z1's free, Fortnite's free, there's so many others. Obviously none have quite the pedigree that Blackouts
and
has.
I do like to think optimistically that you're paying for the polish.
But $80.
Yeah, it's a bit fucked.
But having said that, the people that, you know, people that really want it are going to get their money's worth. They're going to get hundreds of thousands of hours out of it.
I think it'll be, if I do pick it up, or if we're lucky enough to get a hands-on code with it, I think for me it'll come down to playing with people. Like every time I played it, I played it with Buddy or Max, or you know, and we just bullshit the whole time, and that was where the fun was. The game, like the game has, the way the Battle Royale is structured, it has, this is not fucking amazingly new opinion or anything, it has that churn. Like you're allowed to, you can drop in, drop out, and there's no negative effects.
Yep.
And if you die, oh cool, you just wait 3 minutes. Like there is no, like that lobby, there is, as in sorry, getting into a match takes almost nothing. Like talking 15 seconds tops.
Yeah, no, it's quick.
So for that reason, you can be bullshit and just keep playing in and out. Like after I finished the stream, I was chatting with Dash and Buddy, and for the next like hour and a half, and we just kept playing the game while we're chatting.
No, it is very enjoyable, and it looks great. It's performing, like performance wise, it's doing really, really fucking good. Because like I said, I had no issues with anything, even spawning into the lobby. Normally, even like in Fortnite, initially spawning, you're like, and there I go.
Yeah.
It's just smooth.
Well, and then
it's
if you think about, you know, PUBG on Xbox One, and then you land and nothing's popped in yet.
Bluehole has to be packing their pants.
Yeah. But this is that weird line. Bluehole had their chance.
Yeah.
They could have made a better game rather than trying to ban people, two, loot boxes, three, put it on every platform. If they just stayed tight and made it better.
PUBG will always have an audience for the little more hardcore, because I feel like PUBG is a little more hardcore.
Yeah.
Just with how the game, just the way the game is, it is a bit more hardcore. Mm. Whereas COD, just it's just dumb fun.
Yeah.
Of course, there'll be people that take it too seriously.
But in the same thought process of that though, is if you are the first, you are always going to be mushed by everybody else.
Yeah, for sure. And when the big boys want to jump on, you better hope you've planted your roots down somewhere. Yeah. And PUBG hasn't.
No.
It hasn't.
It has not.
So, yeah, Blackout's cool.
What have you thought about the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout? Did you jump into that closed beta as well? Oh, another thing I love as well, side note, it's a closed beta, so it's kind of all like, ooh, you have to pre-order it to play it. And then about 3 days in, they're like, hey, everyone, here's emails. And they just emailed codes to everyone.
Mm.
Like not as in outlets, as in, like, I got one in my personal email. And it's like, hey, here's 4 codes.
No, that makes sense.
And that is awesome.
Because you get the initial lot in to see, like, how are our servers going? Oh, they're only running, like, 40%. We can give out 50,000 more codes. Let's try to bump that up to 80%. Let's see how our servers can handle
it. No, but I just love it in terms, because, like, the original idea would be it's closed beta, that you have to pre-order it. That's the rules. And then it's like, and here you go.
Yeah, no, but it is because they want to stress those servers.
But the open beta coming next week, it's almost kind of like silly to do it now, but it adds that in terms of marketing, it adds this really cool, like, here's your exclusive code out of the kindness of our hearts. Mm. Even though there might be stress testing.
Yeah.
It's image-wise, it's really cool.
Mm.
But yeah, did you jump in there? Did you spend some time with it? Let us know in those comments below. And
having said all that, there's going to be a fuckload of microtransactions.
Oh yeah, it's going to come.
It's going to be fucking huge.
It's a game as a service that will be full of them.
It's going to be a joke.
But look, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout comes out in October. It's like only a month. Holy shit, it's only like a month away.
Yeah.
Shit. But we don't worry about that just yet, because there's some games coming out this week in a section we call coming to the players, where we literally just read the drop.
It's a whole lot of nothing.
A whole lot of poops.
8-bit Armies PS4 Digital and Retail. Anodyne PS4 Digital. Blind PSVR Digital. I think this is meant to be actually good. Blind is a narrative-driven psychological thriller for VR, where the player is blind and must explore their surrounding using echolocation.
Oh, I think I've seen this before. It looked really cool.
Capcom Beat 'em Up Bundle PS4 Digital. The Door PSVR Digital. Downward Spiral.
Is it VR? You just stare at a door?
The Door. Holed up in a secret lab in a dark forest, Dr. Jacob devoted himself to research in the lab he created to treat his terminally ill daughter. One day he is trapped in the lab and everything begins to change. Downward Spiral Horror Station PSVR Digital.
Yeah.
Fishing Sim World PS4 Digital and Retail. The Gardens Between PS4 Digital.
This game comes highly recommended from our good friend Zach over at Well Played, a little Aussie dev.
I see the word puzzle and I'm instantly out though.
Yeah.
The Gardens Between is a surreal puzzle adventure that follows best friends Arena and friend with a DT at the end, as they fall into a mysterious world full of beautiful garden islands.
It's a good, a little Aussie game. So if you do feel the urge to support someone this week, make it an Aussie.
Hover, Revolt of Gamers, PS4 Digital. Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk, PS4 Digital and Retail. Legendary Fishing, PS4 Digital. How many fucking fishing games do we need? My Brother Rabbit, PS4 Digital. Neon Wall, PSVR Digital. RGX Showdown PS4 Digital. Scribblenauts Mega Pack PS4 Digital. Scribblenauts is actually really good.
Scribblenauts Unmasked?
Scribblenauts, 2 classic games with all new content. Oh, I guess so.
So you got the DC one in there and then the regular Scribblenauts, which is cool.
Scribblenauts is good.
I come to realize I'm not very creative.
No, me too.
I'm like, big, hairy
dick.
Yeah.
Speed Brawl PS4 Digital. Splody PS4 Digital. Toon War PS4 Digital. Transference PSVR Digital. A lot of VR titles.
A lot of VR this week. So
jump into an escape room set in a deranged mind and experience a first-person exploration game in a chilling new dimension. Shift between 3 perspectives and attempt to unravel the mystery hiding in this mind-bending psychological thriller. So all VR games are just thrillers now.
Yes, because
let's try to scare you.
Yeah, because it's the best. Like, the immersion is where it's at. So that's the one that Elijah Wood came out at Ubisoft and talked about. Should be cool.
Trickster VR, Dungeon Crawler, PSVR Digital. Unearthing Mars, PSVR Digital. Fuck, there is a lot of VR games. Like Warface, PS4 Digital. That's an army man.
Warface.
That's an army guy.
Fuck. Warframe, Warfare. Warface?
If I was going to buy something from that list, it'd be Scribblenauts.
Yeah.
Because I had good times with it. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you want to join in future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you are a Patreon supporter, you can watch us record this live on the Saturday mornings when we do it. You jump in, have the chats. We have a pre-show, we have a post-show, which pretty much is us bullshitting, talking about probably complaining. It's mostly complaining. Mm. But if you want to show the love of the Pop Culturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like one.
You saw it at the start.
You can buy this jumper. You could also buy this shirt. Popcorn Spoilers. Pop Culturist. Angry Josh face. Yeah. Which, and we sold another one of those, by the way, the other day.
Yeah, strange.
Was it your family?
Ooh, be nice if it was a attractive single female.
Attractive single female. This guy. And we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist. Come over there, give us a follow, maybe subscribe, maybe give us some of them sweet sweet bitties, and watch us play games each Wednesday at 8 p.m.
Was it a male shirt or a female shirt?
There was a baseball team. I didn't see which one.
Hit me up anyway. Just doesn't matter.
When the lion's hungry, he eats. Until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
It's funny because the lion is a cat, which is also pussy.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.
God fucking damn, am I hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving, eh?
No, I'm hungry.
Oh, you're hungry for that?
I'm hungry.
See, this is how you know I'm comfortably married, because I'm like, I could go a sandwich. And you're like, I really need a woman.